of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Mosquito Bites. And the Jebusites, I mean. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And that I should bring the children of Egypt, of Israel out of Egypt. So he, God, said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you brought the people of Egypt, the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Father, we desire to know you more personally. We want to know your name. We want to know your nature. We want to dig in deeply. So I'm asking that this morning, God, you would speak and minister to each and every one of our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Moses, at this point in his life, he's 80 years old, and he's called by God to go to Egypt to lead the children, the nation of Israel, out of bondage, to bring them into the promised land. And, you know, we read this and we see Moses was initially, he was reluctant. Like, he wasn't so sure about this because he's been out of the loop for the past 40 years. He had lived in Egypt. He was born in Egypt, but he hadn't been there for 40 years. Now he's on the backside of the wilderness. He's on the backside of the desert. He's tending to his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. Listen, being a sheep herder was not an elevated position. This was like the lowest of the lowest of the lowest positions. And the fact of the matter is, they weren't even his sheep. They belonged to his father-in-law. And, you know, when we look in the gospel according to Luke, we also see that the lowest of the lowest of the lowest, the shepherds, were the ones who were invited to the party the night of our Savior's birth. So, you know, that's saying something for sure. But the Lord here speaks to Moses on this mountain, and he says, I am sending you to Egypt. And, you know, when the Lord told Moses he was going to do this thing, Moses, protesting, he was like, Lord, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Lord, I've been out of the loop for 40 years. And, you know, that makes us ask that question, Lord, who am I? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Lord, who am I that you would want to use me to minister and share the love of Jesus with my family members? Who, Lord, am I that you would use me to make an impact, to make an influence to the people in my community here in Hoodsport? Lord, who am I that you would send me to a place filled with unbelievers 40 hours a week to work at a job where none of them really know you, but you want me to share this gospel with them? You want me to tell them the love of Jesus? I was talking with Dean Secor just before service, and we exchanged our Merry Christmases, and I love Dean. You know, he's got the heart for Jesus, you know, and he's like, I'll never say Merry Xmas, or I'll never say Happy Holidays, because Christmas is all about Jesus. And we may ask ourselves, well, who am I that I would be bold enough to say Merry Christmas to people in a very public place where really that's not the most popular thing to say anymore? So Moses may have felt insecure. In fact, I'm sure he was unsure of himself. And I know that all of us, when it comes to evangelism, right? That's the really difficult word for Christians, because I'm not called to be an evangelist. We feel sometimes insecure. But in verse 12, the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, Moses, I will certainly be with you. Listen, folks, the question isn't who am I, but the question, a better question to ask is who is with you? Who is with me? You know, I wonder how those disciples must have felt, you know, 2,000 years ago as Jesus is ascending into heaven. And he gives this great commission to them. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all these things that I have commanded to you. And lo, what? I am with you always. The Holy Spirit was given to them. Listen, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit next Sunday and how the Holy Spirit is with us. But he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus promised his disciples, man, I am going to be with you guys to fulfill this great commission that I have given to you, and you're not going to be alone. He was going to be with them in the form of the Holy Spirit. So the key, folks, isn't who am I? The key is this, who is with me? So how do we take this message to our family that we love, that don't believe? How do we take this message, this good news, this gospel to family members, to friends, to co-workers, to people within our community? How do we take this message globally? Like we've had teams that have gone to Uganda. We're sending a team to Dominican Republic. We've been in Vietnam, sending this gospel, sending the good news. How do we do this? Because God is with us. Jesus is with me and Jesus is with you. He has called me. He's called us to himself. And guess what? He's commissioned you. He's commissioned us. And he's saying, listen, I'll take away your fears. I'll take away your trepidation. In your desperation, I am with you wherever you may go. And listen, we can trust him. Do you guys trust the Lord today? Do you trust that it's not who am I? It's not who are you, but it's who is with me? So then Moses raises this next question. If I can get you, Jesse, to put that next slide up for me, because it's not, there we go. Moses asks this next question in verse 13. Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Moses knew who he was talking to. Like, he knew he was talking to God. How do we know that Moses knew he was talking to God? Because in verse 6, it says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses knew he was speaking to God, and it terrified him. It terrified him to the point that he was hiding. He hid his face from God. But Moses wanted to know more. It's like, I know who you are, I know you're God, but I want to know more. I want to know your name. You know, many people say they believe in God. Many people that we all know say, oh yeah, I believe in God, but they don't have that personal relationship with the eternal, with the immortal, with the invisible, to the only wise God. Moses knew he was speaking to God. He knew he was talking to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because God introduced himself that way, but he wanted to know God more personally. Do you guys know that the word God isn't a name? That's not his name. His name's not God. That's a title. And let me give you an example, okay? My title is pastor of Hood Canal Community Church. So if we don't have a really good relationship, you're going to say, hey, pastor, right? You're going to talk to me and talk to me that way. But when we have a personal relationship, you don't have to call me by my title. You call me by my name, Mike. Why? Because Mike is more personal. Now, we all know that the Bible tells us in this world there are many little gods, right? They're not God. There aren't gods, but there are little gods. There are things that people make idols that people make to be gods. Satan is called the god of this world. And, you know, I guarantee you, by the way, that, you know, when you talk to a sincere Muslim person and they try to make you believe that Allah is the same thing as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we can absolutely say, no, he is not. And, you know, I hate to even bring this up, but when we think of the evil that took place on October 7th in Israel in the name of their God, Allah, that is not the God who we serve. We serve a good God. We serve the God. We serve the one and true living God. And guess what? Moses wanted to know his name. Now, why did Moses want to know his name? Because when you really know somebody, you're able to communicate effectively to those people. So, like, if I was having sound issues right now, actually, are we having lighting issues right now? Oh, the cross is, okay, so something's beaming at you. Okay, so disregard that. But if we're having sound issues right now, there was feedback coming up on stage, I'd look up there at the sound booth and I'd say, hey, Azariah, can you fix, no, there's not. Just saying, there's not. But if there were sound issues going on right now, I'd say, Azariah, can you tone down the monitors or whatever it's going on? But if I didn't say Azariah, if I just said, man, there's feedback going on right now, you guys would look at me like, is he talking to me? Right? Because you would know, because I didn't use your name. But when I say Azariah, there's feedback. Just kidding. But there's, you know, if I'm saying Azariah by name, listen, the point is this. Knowing someone's name, it gives us the ability to be able to communicate better with that person. And Moses, listen, if Moses was going to effectively lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he wanted to be able to effectively communicate with God. And, you know, it's interesting, the way he placed it to God was, well, what if I get there and the children of Israel ask me, well, what's the name of the God who sent you? And when we read further on through this account, guess what? They never even asked. And God knew that they were never going to ask, but, you know, it didn't matter because God, he wanted to have this relationship, this personal relationship with who God is. And, you know, that kind of takes me to this next point, like Christians. Like when we pray in Jesus' name, right? Now, have you ever wondered, why do we pray in Jesus' name? Well, there's a couple of verses that I have up on the screen for you. John 14 says this, and whatever you ask in my name, this is Jesus speaking, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we want to make sure that we're not taking this verse out of context. Okay, this doesn't mean that we pray whatever it is that we want to pray, and just by adding Jesus' name at the end of that prayer, that God's like a genie and he's going to answer whatever it is that we want, because the name of Jesus is not a magic formula. But rather, when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're praying according to the will of God the Father. 1 John, same author, different book, in chapter 5 says this, now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So listen, praying in the name of Jesus, it's not about getting whatever it is that we want. Because listen, if that was the case, there'd be a lot of people in big trouble. You'd be driving down the road, somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you pray, in Jesus' name, take them out, God. Listen, that's not the nature of God. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, what we're doing is we're praying in harmony with the heart of God. We're praying that we would know the very nature of God. So when Moses asked God his name, he wanted to know God's nature. And so God identified himself with Moses in verse 14. He says this, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. So picture this conversation between Moses and God. And I'm not trying to add to the scriptures. I'm just trying to illustrate this a little bit better. So Moses asks God his name. God says, I am who I am. Moses says something like this, I that's your name? I am? That's your, I am what? No, Moses. Not I am what? The answer is I am. You see, Moses, I'm speaking in the third form for God. Moses, you're going to go on this incredible journey, and the task before you is huge. And you want to know who I am? Moses, I am whatever it is that you need. I am everything that you need. In the continuous sense, Moses, I am. You know how sometimes we talk about our glory days? Right? Oh man, if you could have seen me back in the day when I was a football player or I was on the wrestling team and I got all of these trophies, and we talk about all of these things that we used to be. Imagine God talking to Moses. Well, Moses, here's my name. I was, but I'm not really anymore. But man, you should have seen me hundreds of years ago. I was this incredible God, right? No, listen, he's not the God who's going to be. He's not the God who used to be. In a very present tense, he is I am. Our God is immutable. Our God is unchangeable. Our God is immortal. Our God is unstoppable. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the day forever. He's the same God that we will be worshiping for all of eternity. And guess what? He's all that you and I will ever need today, tomorrow, and forevermore. But you may be thinking, but Lord, I got this incredible monumental task in front of me. I have all of these kids I've got to raise. I've got this family I've got to support. I've got to go to work every single place and be the light in this dark workplace. God, it's a challenge for me just to get through the day. Lord, I need to know your nature. I need to know really who you are. I want to be close and personal with you. And all of us can feel that way at times. Just like Moses, we may wonder, well, who am I, Lord, to do these things? And his answer to every single one of us is, I am with you. But Lord, I just need to know your name. And he answers us just like Jesus answered us. You know, when we look through the scriptures, I am Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. We'll get to that more in a moment. But Jesus had seven, some say eight, I am statements in the Gospel of John. He said, I am the bread of life, John 6:36. This was, you know, Jesus was saying, just as God provided manna in the wilderness for the children of Israel, just as I was able to take a young boy's lunch of a couple loaves of bread and fish, I am the bread of life who came down from heaven, and anyone who eats from me will live forever. Listen, we're going to take communion here in a few minutes, and we're going to remember Jesus as the bread of life. But not only did he say he's the bread of life, he also said, I am the light of the world in John 8. This was just before he gave sight to the blind man. Jesus had given sight to those who were blind. So listen, he wasn't just talking the talk, but he was walking the walk. When Jesus, he didn't just say, I'm the light of the world. He proved he was the light of the world. He gave sight to the blind. And listen, that same Jesus is the light for you and me today. For those who are spiritually blind, a friend was talking to me recently about someone they never thought would go to church. They never thought this person would be interested. Jesus is the light of the world, and he illuminates within the hearts of men. Not only that, he says, I am the door. John 10, verse 7. Listen, this I am statement is a very important one because Jesus is saying that there is no other door. There is no other way to heaven. You're not going to go around this way. You're not going to go around that way. It's not going to be your good works. It's not going to be your religious attitudes. I am the door. I am the only way. He also says this, and I love this. He says, I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. And that I am statement, it just shows us how much our shepherd, Jesus, loves us and wants to care for every single one of our needs. And when you connect it to Psalm 23, you see that the good shepherd, God, the Father, and Jesus are connected in that way. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. When did Jesus say this? John chapter 11, right before he raised Lazarus from the dead. He goes to Bethany, and his sister, and Lazarus' sister Martha comes running to him and says, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? And her response was, absolutely, I believe that. Jesus was proving that he is the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. John chapter 14, verse 16, this is one of the most powerful I am statements, because Jesus is showing, listen, I'm not just a way. I'm not just a truth of many different truths out there that the Gnostics would have us believe he is or he was, but Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life, the only life for us to live to get to eternal life. He says, I am the true vine. That emphasizes that he is the vine, and guess what? We are the branches, meaning that we need to stay attached. If we want to live a Christian-filled life, we need to be attached to the vine who Jesus is. And then last week, we covered this briefly, and I'll cover it once again. I believe this could be the eighth I am statement. When Jesus was having this debate among the religious leaderships, he said to them, before Abraham was, I am. And we talked about this last week, and we just read about it this morning. As Moses is on that mountain, and he says, who are you? Who do I tell them sent me? He says, I am. And the religious leadership, they knew what Jesus was saying. He was saying that he is the I am on that mountain that spoke to Moses. So Jesus came on the scene, and he showed us his true nature. He said, I am. And we have a personal relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. But you know, sometimes we look at him, again, kind of like the genie in the bottle type of a God. And we come to him and we're asking, God, I just need you to give me deliverance from this thing. Or God, I just need you to give me the money that I need to pay off this bill or to pay that debt. Or God, I just need you to give me a companionship. I need someone. My life is lonely. And listen, folks, this is a misunderstanding of the nature of God. It's not what God can give to you, but it's who God is for you. I'm going to say that one more time, because this rings so true. It's not what God can give to you, but it's who God is for you. And he said to Moses on the mountain, I am. And you know, to this day, the Jewish people, they won't even say the name of God out loud. They won't write the name of God. Whenever you see it, that word, that YHWH, it's a tetragrammatron. And that means that there were no vowels given in that, right? Did I pronounce that right, Don? You think so? Okay, thanks. Correct me later if you need to. But there's no vowels in it. So some of us, we think, well, what that probably sounds like is Yahweh, right, in the Hebrew. Or in the Latin, Jehovah, right? We think that must be what it sounds like. But none of us really know for certain how to pronounce the name of God, except for who? Moses. Moses heard it. He heard God pronounce it to him. Now, why does Moses, above everybody else, know how to pronounce the name? And can I go on a bunny trail really quick? Just shoot me down later, okay? I just got to get this out. Anyone of you guys see the debate between Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis last Thursday night? I didn't see the whole thing, but it was hilarious. It was hilarious. Ron DeSantis is talking about something, blah, 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 and he says the name Kamala Harris, and you guys see this? It's hilarious. Newsom's over there going, what did you just say? It's not Kamala, it's Kamala. You do something like that. I mean, it was really close, right? Anyway, that was a really bad bunny trail, but I'm back. Moses knew. Moses knew how to pronounce the name of God. Why? Because he asked him. And the question for us is this: how can I? Like, how can we have such a personal relationship with the eternal, immortal, invisible, only wise God? The similar type of relationship, not the same relationship, but a similar type of worship, of relationship that Moses had with Yahweh. Listen, folks, we ask him. We go to him and we just ask him. We're open. We're honest with him. And the truth is, every single one of us in this room have needs. Every single one of us have concerns. We all deal with problems. Every one of us, like Moses, may be like, who am I? How can I do something like that? And the answer for us is God is with you. And if God is with you, God is for you. No one, nothing can be against you. And when we cry out to our God, our Father, it's as if he's whispering in our ear. It's as if he's speaking to our heart, letting us know he understands you. He understands every single thing that you are going through. He knows every fear. He knows every disappointment. He knows the loneliness. He knows the challenges and the trials that we are going through. And we come to him in Jesus' name and pour our hearts out to him. When we get on our face and just cry out to the living God, he comes alongside of us and he says, I know. I know. I know the challenges that you're dealing with. And you know what? You guys know that song. He's got the whole, we're not going to sing it, but you know it. He's got the whole world in his hands. I don't know if that's biblical or not. I think it is, right? But he does. Man, he's got you. He's got me. So here's the question for us then. Is the eternal, immortal, invisible, only wise God, is he all that you need? I'm going to let that simmer for just a second. I really want us to really search our own hearts deeply here. Is that God, Yahweh, I am, is he all that you need? Is he all that I need? And when we make him our personal living God, we can ask him whatever it is in his name, knowing his heart, knowing his nature, knowing his will, and he will answer our prayers. Do you believe that today? I do. I doubt sometimes, just like all of us do. We all have struggles. We all have doubts. But that's why it's so important that we're drawing near to him every single day. And as we draw near to God, the promise is that he draws near to me. It's like when my child comes to me and is crying out and lifting up his hands to me. Listen, I'm not going to turn away from him. I'm going to pick him up. I'm going to draw near to him. I'm going to hold him in my arms because I love him. And that's what our God, our Father, our personal Savior is to you and is for me. And I want us to consider that this Christmas. I really want us to consider it's more than just a baby being born in a stable. It's more than three wise men and shepherds coming and gathering around the stable. It's the personal living God, the only true God who loves you, who loves me, and wants to have a relationship with us. Amen? Amen. And guess what? This morning, we get the opportunity to take communion, remembering who this God is. Father, we love you. We praise you this morning. God, our cry today is we need to know you personally. We need to know who you are in our lives. You're not just the God who gives us things, but you're the God who cares about every need that we have. You're the God that cares about every thought that might take us to the right or take us to the left. You're the God who knows us so intimately that even when we're lying to ourselves, you can read right through us. And you have the ability to point us right back to the truth of who you are. Father, it's not about who I am. It's about who you are in my life, in our lives. And we want to know you more intimately every single day. This morning, if you're here and you don't have that intimate, personal relationship with Jesus, I just want to share something with you. As all of our hearts are in prayer and our eyes are closed, I want you to know he loves you so much that he was willing to send his only begotten son, Jesus, to come to this earth. And Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. And in the fullness of time, he allowed his son to go to the cross. And it's there that he died for you. He died for me. He died for the sins of all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not be separated from him for all eternity, but have everlasting life with him. And if that's you this morning, if you're here today and you need to put your faith and trust in that living God, if you need to have a personal relationship with him, I don't want to let this time go by. We're going to have communion here today. And if you don't know him personally, and you take this cracker and you take this juice, it's just a very unsatisfying snack. But if today you're willing to put your faith and trust in the living, true God, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, this time of communion is going to be so much more meaningful. And if that's you, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer. There's nothing about these words that you may be saying, but it's about what God is doing in your heart. When you cry out, "Dear God, I need you in my life. I know that I've sinned against you. I know that I've gone in the wrong direction for way too long. But today I confess that sin to you and I want to turn to you. I want to repent. I want to do a 180. I want to come back." Maybe that's what you're praying this morning. You need to come back to him. Today's the day that God has made for you to rejoice and to be glad in him. Will you make that decision this morning? Just in the stillness of time, as Gabe continues to lead us in worship on the piano, I just want to give you a moment just between you and him, and I'm going to be quiet. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that has been applied to the doorpost of our hearts. And this Christmas, we are looking to you as our personal God, as our personal Savior. And as we take communion this morning, God, we remember the beautiful sacrifice of Jesus, our Lord. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. There's been some fellows in the church that have been set aside to come forward to pass the communion elements, and this is, I'm going to invite them forward at this time. And they're going to pass the bread first. And as they pass these elements, Gabe's going to continue to lead us in music. And I want us to hold on to the cracker together. Hold on to this bread together. And then when it's all been distributed, we'll take this together. But while we're waiting, just be praying. Just be seeking God's heart, asking him to show you. If there's an area in your life that needs to be changed, if there's an area in your life that needs to be completely submitted to him and surrendered to him, what a great time to be able to take to surrender those to him. So I'm going to ask the fellows here to pass the bread as Gabe continues to lead us in song.